Maybe it's a date, or an outing with a good friend, or a trip with a coworker, or a gathering with a family member. Your driver arrives and he or she sits in the driveway and honks their horn. The sound is deafening and annoying, both to you and your neighbors. But it's also effective. When your driver honks, they get your attention, and you know you better act quickly and get yourself ready to go. With these words, Jesus is honking his horn at his followers. If we think of the rest of this chapter as a whole, the heart of the matter is in verse 40. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. As Jesus speaks, he has come. He will soon die and rise and return to glory with the Father with the promise of coming again in his final judgment and glory. Will you be ready for his coming? You can't predict it, but you can prepare for it. Jesus honks because he wants his followers to be ready for his return. Now, for the next three Sundays, I want to ask you this question. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the return of Jesus? Well, how do you get ready? How do you live ready? Today, we learn that you are watchful. You're watchful. If someone is picking you up, you are wise to watch for their vehicle. And if you follow Jesus as your Lord and claim him as your Savior, you are wise to watch for his coming. And yet this watching is not just sitting in a chair, gazing out a window, and wondering if the person will ever come. Jesus' words reveal that watching is active, and watching is hopeful. And yet his words also reveal that watching is tough. Watching is active. Jesus wants his followers actively following him as they watch for him. When you're active, you're serving, and you're serving well. When you're active, you're serving. In verse 35, Jesus gives us the image of dressing. He says, stay dressed for action. In Jesus' day, people often wore long robes. Those robes were comfortable for sitting, but they weren't great for moving. If you had to move quickly, you would tuck the outer robe under a belt or a sash, and this would free your legs to move, kind of like when a bride tells her attendants to lift the bottom of her wedding dress so she can move. When you're active, you're moving, you're serving, you're doing whatever Jesus has called you to do. You're doing whatever Jesus has called you to do. When Jesus returns, he wants his people fulfilling their callings. You're not sitting and waiting for Jesus to return. You're following him until the day he returns. You will be ready to serve when Jesus returns because you're serving now. You've been called to serve in the places God has called you. And you watch for Jesus' return by serving in those callings. Yet you're not just serving. You're serving well. Notice the second image in verse 35. Jesus says, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. The master is a wedding feast. And the feast continues long after dark. If the servants are going to welcome him home, they need to keep their lamps lit. They must have oil for their lamps and they have to tend the flames for the lamps. If the lamps go out, they'll stumble around in the dark and they'll be useless to their master. It's like when the power goes out in the middle of the night and you have to find your way to the bathroom, right? There's no light anywhere, and since there's no light anywhere, the only way you get there is probably by injuring yourself or breaking something along the way. You only get where you need to go if you have enough light along the way. See, when you serve well, you're not just present and accounted for. You're not just sitting and taking up space. You're active to serve in your callings, and you want your service to be done well and to be well-pleasing to the Lord. You want to keep serving and serving well until the day Jesus comes again. Have you ever heard the word hyper-Calvinism? Hyper-Calvinism. A hyper-Calvinist believes that since God sovereignly saves people by his grace, Jesus' followers don't need to do anything to lead people to faith in Jesus. If we can't do anything to actually compel someone to believe in Jesus for salvation, hyper-Calvinism says we just sit back and do whatever we want and God will take care of everyone he wants to save. Hyper-Calvinism is wrong. While God is sovereign in salvation, he calls people to faith in Jesus through the words and the deeds of his people. Yet hyper-Calvinism is just one example of the danger of passivity in the Christian life. When you're passive, you may think or say, well, God will save people, I don't need to do anything. But you also may think or say, God will sovereignly help hurting people, so I don't need to do anything to help them. Or God will sovereignly save and provide for needy people, so I don't need to give them anything. Or I might say, as a pastor, God will sovereignly bless people through my preaching, so I don't need to prepare. Even if you don't talk this way, you may be tempted to walk this way. Because you believe every blessing is a gift of God's grace, you may live passively as you await his return. But grace doesn't make you passive. Grace makes you active. Grace makes you active in the Christian life. God's grace in your life should motivate you to serve Jesus and to serve him well. You don't do it to earn God's grace because you can't earn grace. Grace is always a gift. But you do this because you rejoice in the grace of the one who's been so good to you. As you watch for his return, you want to serve and you want to serve well. You serve and serve well when you get to know a person who is spiritually helpless and hopeless. And you listen to the cries of their heart. And you respond with words that show them the joy of Jesus. You serve and serve well when you're asked to offer your gifts for the ministry of the church. You can't do everything, but you know you are part of the body of Christ, so you're willing to do what you can do. You serve and serve well when a brother or sister in Jesus needs wisdom or encouragement. You strive to understand their need. You use your knowledge of the Bible to help them in their struggles. You serve and serve well when your neighbor needs an extra hand or a good meal. Even if you can't do everything, you find ways to help. You serve and serve well when you enter your workplace and you strive to be salt and light with the good deeds you do for your coworkers. Even as you earn a paycheck, you want to glorify your Father in heaven. You serve and serve well because watching is active. Watching is also, it's also hopeful. It's hopeful. Verses 36 and 37. Be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. What's your hope as you watch? What's your hope as you actively watch? You hope to welcome, and you hope to feast. You hope to welcome the master when he returns. In Jesus' description, the master is at a wedding feast and he will arrive home late. And the servants will leave the doors locked to keep the troublemakers out. Yet when the master arrives, they'll be awake to welcome him home. How do we translate this image to the return of Jesus? What does it mean for you to welcome Jesus? He doesn't need you to open the door for him. He doesn't need you to stay awake for the day and the hour when he comes. Maybe it's something like this.
Imagine you've been home, or rather away from home, for a long time. In my memory, the longest I've been away from my family was 16 days during a mission trip a long time ago. Now, what happened when I arrived home after 16 days? My wife and my children welcomed me with a festive banner and some great food and a chance to sleep. What if I'd arrived home and they'd not been home? Oh, I still would have found my way inside. But my homecoming was much more special because they were present there for me. You want to welcome the Master Jesus when he returns. You hope to participate in this welcome with God's people. You want to delight in the full and final fulfillment of his plans and purposes. If you die before he returns, you'll do this in glory. And if he returns in your lifetime, you'll do it here. In either case, you watch with this hope of welcome. And yet it's not only a hope of welcome. You also hope to feast. Jesus' words here take an unexpected turn, don't they? The master arrives home, and you would assume that he would either go to bed or maybe have his servants make him a late night snack. But he dresses himself for service, tells them to sit down, and serves them. Jesus must be thinking here of the wedding feast of the Lamb in Revelation 19. A multitude loudly praises God. They announce, "Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and the bride has made herself ready." And then an angel says, "Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." Have you ever been invited to a really important gathering? Perhaps you were excited, but also nervous. You thought long and hard about how to dress. You wondered how you would act and react at the gathering. Because of the significance of the gathering, you were motivated to prepare well for your participation. Grace should motivate our service. And hope should also motivate our service. With the hope of this welcome, with the hope of this feast, you are ready, willing, and able to faithfully serve your master as you watch for the day of his return. What's your greatest hope? What do you hope for? If you're going to survive and thrive in this world, you have to have hope. When you perform the simple act of getting out of bed in the morning, you do it with the hope of something awaiting you. But you can fill your heart with nothing but lesser and fleeting hopes, especially in a culture where we have so many blessings. If grace can make you passive, prosperity can make you distracted. If grace can make you passive, prosperity can make you distracted. In the scene Jesus presents, the servants are probably doing pretty well for themselves. They've got a good and kind master. How easy it is for the servants to find their hope in the blessings of the master instead of the master himself. How easy it is for the servants to find their hope in the blessings of the master instead of the master himself. The early church father, Augustine, memorably illustrated this. He imagined a man giving a beautiful engagement ring to a woman he loves and wants to marry. She looks at the ring. She declares it to be wonderful. And then she says to the man, "I'll take the ring. Now you can go. I don't want anything else to do with you." What would we say to such a woman? We would count her the greatest of the ungrateful. Augustine said we can't treat God that way. God has given you all these things. Love him who made them. How easy it is for the servants to find their hope in the blessings of the master instead of the master himself. If you live for lesser and fleeting hopes, you are doomed to disappointment. If you live only for the hope of wealth, you will never have enough, and you will always be afraid someone will take it from you. If you live only for the hope of achievement, you will always want more, and you may see someone undo what you've done. If you live only for the hope of reputation, the praise of others will never be enough for you, and the criticism of others will tarnish your reputation and break your fragile heart. If you live only for the hope of pleasure, you will always want more and more because your pursuit of pleasure will never satisfy you. If you live only for the hope of a relationship, you may be saddened if you don't get it and devastated if you lose it. But if you live for the hope of welcoming Jesus and feasting with Jesus, you will be motivated to serve him and to serve him well all the days of your life. Unlike those lesser and those fleeting hopes, this hope is the best hope, and this hope will be fulfilled forever. Your watching is hopeful because Jesus has given you the vision of a day when you will welcome him and feast with him. Watching is active, and watching is hopeful. Yet Jesus has something else to say to us. Watching is tough. When you're waiting for someone to arrive at your house or apartment, pick you up, you may struggle to keep watching. You may become distracted by a person or by a problem. You may wonder whether your driver will ever arrive. Watching for Jesus is tough because it may be long and it may be dangerous. Watching for Jesus may be long. In verse 38, Jesus says the master may not come until the second or third watch. If you or others were watching for something or someone through the night, you would take turns watching by dividing the night into what you would call watches. And by the time you got to the second or third watch, it would be getting pretty late. You would struggle to watch for so long. When your watch is long, your watch is tough. In our culture, some dream of living a lot longer than we do right now. I recently heard of a group whose goal is to live for 150 years. Would you like to live so long in this glorious but tragic world? If you trust Jesus as Savior and follow him as Lord, I believe the answer is no. If you pay attention to the sin in your heart and the sorrows of your loved ones and the suffering of the world around you, this life will wear you down. You'll face more and more sadness. You'll see more and more tragedy. You'll sense more and more mystery. If you know Jesus as Savior and follow him as Lord, you are not trying to extend your life to 150 years. You are crying out for the end of the watch. You're declaring in your heart and you're proclaiming with your lips, "Come, Lord Jesus." You can't predict when you will go to Jesus or he will come to you. This life may be longer than you expect. Jesus' return may be more distant than you expect. Watching is tough because watching may be long. It may also be dangerous. In verse 39, Jesus shifts the image a little. A thief is coming to the master's home. But when will the thief come? If you know when the thief is coming, you'll make your house secure. But what if you don't know? Well, you don't know when Jesus will come. But you know there are thieves. Yet Jesus is more concerned about thieves who will steal your heart than thieves who will steal your money and possessions. He knows there is a danger for what you hold in your hands, but he also knows there's a danger for what you hold in your heart. Satan will tempt you, and this is dangerous. Your world will tempt you, and this is dangerous. Your own heart will tempt you, and this is dangerous. You face the spiritual danger of someone or something stealing your watchful service to Jesus and hopeful service to Jesus. Think of the parable of the sower. The seed of God's truth is spread, but Satan robs the truth from some human hearts. Testing and troubles turn human hearts away from the truth. The riches and pleasures of this life distract human hearts away from the truth. You want to watch for the coming of Jesus, but because of everything in your heart and in your world, watching is dangerous. So how do you keep watching? How do you remain active and hopeful in a world where watching can be tough? I'm going to give you a couple of ideas. You keep watching through what you do and through where you go. This is what you do. You remain active and hopeful by being active and hopeful. Now that sounds like nonsense, but it's really common sense. You grow in your ability to actively and hopefully serve Jesus by actively and hopefully serving Jesus. The best way to learn to do something is to do it. You won't always do it well. You'll never do it perfectly. But you do what God calls you to do. And as you do what God calls you to do, you become more of what God calls you to be. Think of our earlier examples. You get to know a spiritually hopeless and helpless person. You offer your gifts for the ministry of the church. You give wisdom and encouragement to a hurting brother or sister. You lend a steady hand or a good meal to a neighbor. You get to work in your workplace for the glory of God. You do what you can do, and you become better at doing what you do. You develop habits of doing what you do. Do you notice Jesus doesn't say, sit around and think about the concept of dressing correctly and lighting your lamps? No. He says to go do it. Do what Jesus calls you to do, and as you do, you'll become more active. And you'll become more hopeful. You'll get better at watching. So you keep watching through what you do. But you also keep watching through where you go. Where do you go? You go to Jesus. He knows watching is tough. How tough was it for Jesus to do the will of the Father all through this life and even to the cross? We can't imagine. But we don't have to imagine this. Jesus will help you stay active and hopeful, even when the journey is tough. When you don't think you can watch for him anymore, he's watching you. He's praying for you before the throne of the Father. He has sent his Holy Spirit to empower you to remain active and hopeful. You keep watching as you watch in the joy and in the strength of your Savior and your Lord. I don't know about your little part of the world, but on our property, it's been a very weedy summer. A very weedy summer. Each day brings new weeds to be pulled. And you know what happens when you pull weeds. Grab a hold of that weed. And as you pull, you're shocked because you discover how the roots are so deep. And you realize this weed that you just see right now has been growing for a very long time. And sometimes it's tough to weed the weed. Are you ready for the coming of the Son of Man? You want to be watchful. And if you're going to watch well, you need deep roots. Jesus calls you to be active and to be hopeful in your service to Him. And the watching will get tough. And that's when He says, go to Him. You know He will help you. Keep doing what He's called you to do. As you go to Him for grace and for mercy and for help, as you actively and hopefully watch, even when it's tough, Jesus deepens your roots. And then you'll be ready when the Son of Man comes at an hour you do not expect. Would you pray with me? Father, Son, and Spirit, make us not passive but active. Make us not hopeless but hopeful. When it's tough, help us to turn to You and discover the glory of Your grace, mercy, and help in our times of need. Oh Lord, help us to watch. Help us to watch. Help us to watch. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand with me. This was an easy last song to pick. We will feast. We will feast in the house of Zion. Let's stand and rejoice in the hope of feasting with our Lord.